In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and mammon, he tells us. Now, mammon is rightly understood as being money, but it can actually be anything, because the reality is you can't serve two masters, pure and simple. As he tells us, you're either going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. And so we have to look at that question, ask ourselves, who really is the Lord of my life? Now we say Jesus is Lord and Master, but is he really? And he is Lord of the whole universe, but is he Lord of my life? Is he really the center point of my life around which everything else revolves? Or is there something else that's more important to us than the Lord? In other words, we might look at it and say, well, Jesus is important to me, but not central. Something else, therefore, is the Lord of my life. So who do you serve? Becomes the question. If we are going to say that God is truly the Lord in my life, I want him to be center. I want him to be the most important in my life. Then we have to ask ourselves, am I really willing to serve him the way that he has told us he wants to be served? And again, we have to understand, we talk about service. This is not something that can be forced. God gave you a free will. You have to choose whether you're going to serve him or not. He will not force it on you. So when we look at it, the Lord tells us in the gospel that if we are trustworthy in small matters, then we'll be trustworthy in the big ones. That if we're dishonest in the small matters, we're going to be dishonest in the big ones. And the context of that, of course, is the gospel reading about this dishonest steward. And the master says, you can no longer be my steward. But you and I have been given a stewardship, first and foremost with regard to our own soul, with the salvation of our own soul, and then those of you who are parents, with the soul of your spouse, the soul of your children. And so we look at that and say, all right, this is the stewardship God has given us. He's also given us the stewardship of the whole truth. As Catholics, the blessing that is ours is so immense. We have been given the fullness of truth. But essentially, we've been given it on a silver platter, and so it oftentimes means very little to us. If we have to work at something, then it means a lot to us. But when we don't work at it, it tends to mean very little. And so what's happened in our society now is we've gotten to the point where, as we know, the catechesis over the last 50 years has been abominable. And so most people who are Catholic don't really know what their faith teaches. And so we really, again, need to look at that in the context of what we're hearing in the readings today. For instance, in the book of the prophet Amos, what we heard in the first reading today, the question, when will the new moon be over so that we might sell our grain and the Sabbath that we may display the wheat? We'll diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. So in other words, they were following the Sabbath because they were required to. They didn't want to. They had to because the laws of the state were that they couldn't be open on the Sabbath. We have, of course, completely rejected that. Everything is open today. And worse than that, when I drive by any of these places on a Sunday afternoon, you can hardly find a parking spot. That means there are an awful lot of people who want to call themselves Christian who are going shopping on Sundays. It's a sin to have the place open, and it's a sin to be going to it. But do we care? Everyone else is doing it. It's more convenient. I needed something. I had to do it. we've got more excuses for why we can break the commandments than we can imagine. And it's not just the third commandment that we're doing this with. It's all of them. We have found amazing ways of tap dancing our way around what God has told us. So again, we look at it and say, all right, these people, they needed to follow the law because it was required. But like I said, they didn't want to. They had to. Now that everything is wide open and we have decided to just totally disregard God's law, now you and I have a choice. Are we going to do what God asks, or are we not? Now that means that we're not necessarily going to fit in. We're not going to be like everyone else. We're going to say, no, I'm not going to be doing that on Sunday. Sunday is a day that's supposed to be set aside for prayer and for study and for family, for some recreation. So if we think about it, if we are living in a situation, as I mentioned, where the catechesis has been a disaster, then can you sit down on Sunday and read the catechism? At least read a few paragraphs out of it or a section out of it to be able to start learning more about the faith. Can you take that time to build one another up in a family, to be more cohesive as a family, to use Sunday truly as the Lord's day rather than anything else? One of the sad things that's happened in our society, because people don't want to go to Mass and they don't want to have anything to do with God, they don't even call it Sunday anymore. Now they just call it Fun Day. Well, it's fine, again, to have some entertainment. It's fine to have something that's going to build you up. But again, it's all about selfishness, the way that we're doing it in America. It's not about God. It's not about building up the person. It's just about giving into my own selfish desires. And so if we look at what we do with working our way around the third commandment, ask ourselves, what do we do with the rest of them? Again, this is the stewardship that's ours. We have, as St. Paul told us in the second reading, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He is God and he is man. As God, he brings to us the fullness of the truth. He brings to us the love of God. He brings to us everything that we need for the salvation of our souls. But do we want it? He told us point blank that he is the way. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. That's an absolute statement. So he is the only way. But somehow or another, we think, well, I don't need to walk that way. I can make my own way. There isn't another way. If you make your own way, you're not going to heaven. Jesus told us he's the truth. He's the fullness of truth. And that's what's been given to us, is the fullness of truth. But sometimes, again, one of the problems Catholics have is because we have the fullness of truth and because it's right there for us all the time, we pay it no attention. I often point out, if you were going to make a trip to Washington, D.C., more than likely you would make it a point to go to the Smithsonian. You'd probably go to the Library of Congress. You'd look at what are the places where you ought to be going. And yet we have the Minneapolis Museum of Art right over here, which has some beautiful things in it. But we can go there anytime. So we just don't go there at all. If we had to work and we had to go someplace, we would say, I absolutely am going to go to this. I mean, if you're going to New York, you're going to go to the Museum of Art. Of course you're going to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art if you're going to go to New York. But, well, this one's just always there. So our truth is just always there as Catholics. No big deal, I can get it anytime. So I don't do anything. This is our stewardship. This is what's been given to us. Are we being good stewards of God's truth? Jesus told us that the greatest commandments are to love God and love your neighbor. But are we doing that? Are we really loving God by serving Him? By doing what He's asked us to do? Because that, Jesus tells us, is the life. If we want the fulfillment of our own lives in this world, and we ultimately want heaven, there's only one way. It's charity, the love of God and the love of neighbor. But is that what we want? So again, we look at that and say, all right, if God has entrusted me with these things, am I proving myself to be trustworthy? He's given us the commandments. Ask yourself now again, am I really following them, or am I finding all kinds of rationalizations around them? Why it's okay for me to not follow the commandments? And the most stupid one that I hear all the time is, God understands. Of course He does. He knows exactly why you did what you did. Doesn't mean He agrees with you. I'm sure most of the parents here who have teenage kids, you understand why your kid did what he did. That doesn't mean he's not in trouble, but you understand. Yeah, God understands perfectly why we did what we did. We broke His commandment. Yeah, He understands it perfectly. That doesn't mean He's going to say it's okay, because it's not. So we look at that again, we go back to what Jesus told us. He said, if you're trustworthy in small matters, you'll be trustworthy in the big ones. But if you're not trustworthy in the little ones, you're not going to be trustworthy with the big ones. God has entrusted you with an immortal soul to get to heaven. If we can't even follow the third commandment, let alone the first and the second and the others, how are we going to be entrusted with eternal life? Heaven is loving God and loving neighbor. If we can't do that, Jesus came down to the world and He told us this is what we have to do. And we don't. And so are we going to say that He is Lord of my life, but I don't need to do what He tells me to? I'm the steward of what He has entrusted to me, but I'll do it my way, not His. It doesn't work. So that's what we all have to look at. That simple question, who really is the Lord of my life? Who is or what is most important to me? If it's mammon in any form, it's not going to work. It's all going to be left behind. Just think about that fact again. You're going to stand before God one day, and all your money is going to be back here somewhere. It's going to say, so that huge bank account with millions of dollars that you were so impressed with, where is it now? You'll say, oh, back there. Oh, the car that you got that goes faster than everybody else in the neighborhood, so that got you to the next red light faster than it got the other people to the next red light. Where's that one? Yeah, back there. Yeah, that house that you were so impressed with that you wanted to show off because it was the biggest, fanciest house in the neighborhood. Where's that now? Yeah, that's back there too. You can't take even a penny with you. So what really is most important? God has entrusted you with the stewardship of your soul, of your life, of your being. And your soul is immortal. It's going to live forever. So that's what we have to look at. Is our focus on this life where everything is going to be left behind? Or is our focus on the immortality on the next life where we're going to be loving God and neighbor for eternity? But we're only going to love God and neighbor for eternity if we're loving God and neighbor now. And by loving God, I mean making God truly the Lord of your life, making him the center of your life, so that everything revolves around that. That is the way that Jesus taught us. That is the truth Jesus taught us. That is the life that Jesus promised us. That's the choice now that is ours. And so look deep in your heart and ask yourself, who truly, if I'm honest with myself, who or what truly is the Lord of my life? Who do I really want to be the Lord of my life? And if God and our Lord Jesus isn't the Lord of my life, what do I need to do to change that? What do I need to change in my life to make him the Lord of my life, so that my life truly revolves around him? Because the truth doesn't change. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and mammon.